This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
This is Real Relationship Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Real Talk is a podcast that covers everything that will help you to improve yourself and the lives of others. And just sometimes we might discuss the tea in the streets. Now, I want to introduce Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope, and my wife, Fee the Busy Bee, is not here this morning, but she's here in spirit. And as she always says, that if you're starting your morning off listening to Real Talk, you're starting your Saturday morning off right. And I know there's a lot of love in the air, y'all. I mean, seriously, there's a lot of love in the air. I just want to share that my wife and I celebrated 29 years of marriage last week. Yes, yeah, September 2nd, 1995. I mean, we were happily married and we began this journey together. And 29 years later, we're still going strong. Now, have we had challenges? Yes. Have we had some dark days? Yes. But you know what? Our dark days do not even compare to all the great memories that we've built together. And the challenges that we've had during the 29 years do not even stand up against all the great memories and victories and just highlights that we've had together. My wife, my queen, my soulmate, my lover, my best friend. I just want to say it again, baby. I love you and happy anniversary to 29 more. Now, a lot of people, when they see us, they say, I can't believe you all have been married for 29 years. And I said, yes, I don't know why. We got married. We were about 8 years old. I was 8. She was 7. So, hey, just keep it moving. But anyway, 29 years together. So for all the couples out there celebrating anniversaries in the month of September, happy anniversary. I think about Tony. I remember we were dating and I remember, you know, some of our friends would play that song. That was our little theme song. And we weren't married, but we said anniversary based on when we started being girlfriend and boyfriend. So again, thank you so much, Felicia Pope, for being my best friend and being my ride or die. I mean, I can really say that because we've been through a lot together, but I believe those times have brought us so much more closer. Enough about me and my anniversary. And today is going to be a very good show because I have a special guest in the studio with me, and his name is Terry Ormstead. And he's just going to be hanging out with me this morning. We're going to be chopping it up, talking about a lot of different topics that might be near and dear to our hearts. So before we move on, let's have our Black History Fact of the Day. Today, I would like to lift up Frankie Beverly, who was born Howard Beverly on December 6, 1946, and he just passed away on September 10, 2024. Frankie Beverly was an American singer, songwriter, and producer known primarily for his recordings with the soul and funk band Maze. He formed Maze, originally called Raw Soul, in his hometown of Philadelphia in 1970. After moving to San Francisco and an introduction to Marvin Gaye, Maze later released 9 gold albums and created a large and devoted following. Beverly was one of the band's writers, producer, and lead singer. He was known for his distinctive, smooth baritone voice and charismatic stage presence. The All Music Guide wrote, "Frankie Beverly and Maze may be the ultimate urban contemporary group, much more soulful and funky than many of their counterparts." Beverly was born Howard Stanley Beverly on December 6, 1946, but changed his name to Frankie in honor of his idol Frankie Lyman. Although the group has never won major awards, they continue to attract sold-out audience, giving them the title Best Kept Secret in the Industry. After 50 years of performances and shows, Beverly performed his final concert in Philadelphia at the Dale Music Center, where Beverly had performed for decades. Beverly's signature style, with his soothing vocals and sophisticated musicianship, garnered a loyal fan base that continues to thrive even to this day. One of the things that stood out about Frankie Beverly is his custom all-white outfit. He would wear a custom white shirt, custom white slacks, and also a custom baseball cap. And this has become a tradition all over the world. So when audiences attended his concert, they would wear all white in honor of the group. So before I let you go, I would like to honor Frankie Beverly.
It's time for the tea. It's time for the tea.
Hello, everyone. It's time for the tea. And this is kind of like one of my favorite parts of the show because we can talk about things that are going on in the media. Now, today, I want to do something a little different because I have a special guest in the studio. I have my good friend, Mr. Terry Ormstead, hanging out with me today. So, Mr. Terry, can you tell everybody, hey, in Radio Land?
Hello, everyone. Happy to be here with you. Doc, happy you invited me.
Hey, I'm so glad that you're here. So we're doing our tea a little different, and Mr. Terry is more like an expert in a lot of tea, okay, that we're going to be talking about today. So the first thing that's on our table today is the Tyreek Hill situation. So Mr. Terry, can you tell everybody about that situation, and then we're going to give our input on it, okay?
Sure will. Okay. And the first thing I'll say, I may be an enthusiast rather than an expert.
Okay.
But that being said, you know, Tyreek Hill, wide receiver for the Dolphins, he was headed to his game Sunday morning, and he was speeding. He admits he was speeding. So he gets pulled over. Now, of course, the cops come knock on his darkly tinted windows.
Right.
And frankly, you know how we get when somebody put fingerprints on our windows. But that being said, and first, factually, he was, you know, he gave some lip to the police officers.
Right.
He did exit the car. He was actually pulled out of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
He was handcuffed. And then one of his teammates came up to provide assistance.
Right.
And his teammate ended up getting handcuffed as well. And I bring his teammate up for a particular reason.
Okay.
Now, those are the facts, if you would.
Right.
Now, guy talk.
Okay, guy talk.
Yeah, okay. As young men, young black men, we were all told how we need to carry ourselves when police comes.
Right.
Tyreek didn't quite do that.
Right.
You know, maybe he felt his money, his status, his vehicle, maybe he thought he knew who he was. Okay, that was that.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, the cops, and particularly that was a second officer that came up, came from behind,
right,
put him in a chokehold, slammed him on the ground. They handcuffed him. After they handcuffed him, put a knee in his back. Now, personally, I didn't know cops were doing that anymore.
Yeah, I thought with George Floyd, I thought they kind of put an X on that.
Yeah.
Right.
But with that being said, so, and his teammate came up. Gentleman's name was Calais Campbell. Now, I mention him specifically because Calais Campbell is perennially, that means every year, in the running for NFL Man of the Year.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. And they put Calais Campbell in handcuffs because he was trying to speak up for his teammate.
Right.
Now, Good Morning America. I'm sorry, not Good Morning America. Good Morning Football. The announcer actually said, one of the personalities made the comment, if any police officer is putting handcuffs on Calais Campbell, there's a problem with the police officer.
Wow.
Okay.
Because they know his reputation and his character.
Exactly. Now, that being said, when I first saw the video, and this was from persons in the street.
Okay.
It really only showed what the cops did. It did not clearly show what Tyreek did.
Right.
And I personally reserve judgment because, you know, you need to hear both sides of the story. And I do try to be fair.
Right.
That being said, once we saw the cop footage, that's when we saw Tyreek give more lip than personally I would feel comfortable with.
Right. Right.
But that being said, you know, so I believe that was wrong on both parts.
Okay. So you believe that was wrong on both parts. Now, like you said earlier, because I'm a young black man, you know, I'm older now, but I know when I was younger, my parents had that talk with me. This is how you be respectful. You do what they say so you won't get in trouble. That was the conversation they had with me.
Exactly.
So, with that being said, if Tyreek would have handled it in a better way in the front end, do you think it would have escalated to what it had gotten to?
I personally do not believe it would, because, again, the cop came up, knocked on Tyreek's window, and frankly, we don't like people getting fingerprints on our window.
Right.
It is what it is.
I hear you.
And then as soon as Tyreek rolled his window down, he went on to say, hey, I'm late. Just give me my ticket. Let me go. You know, so already. And then the cop, you know, said, well, hey, do you know why I pulled you over? The cop was, I'll say, trying to at least communicate. But my opinion, Tyreek got irritated very, very quickly. It showed. He rolled his windows back up, and cops said, roll them back down. He did not immediately do that. And so once he did begin to come out of his vehicle, that's when a second cop came up, grabbed him, threw him down, and the bad things happened, if you would.
Right. And I think that was over. I mean, that was too much. That was excessive.
Exactly.
In my opinion. But I feel like the first cop was trying to do what he needed to do.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. So who do you fault? I mean, do you think that's something that police might need more training with, or do you think that Tyreek was in a role? I mean, for having that chip on his shoulder, because I'm being honest, and I'm just like, it's real talk, y'all. When I first saw the video, I was appalled at it. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know. But then when I heard the audio from the cop cam or whatever,
body cam,
I was like, you know, I wish he just would have handled it differently in the beginning. Now, it was excessive. Now, that's wrong. That cop needs to be reprimanded. Something needs to happen, training or whatever, because you're going to have people that agitate you. You know what I mean? Every person is not going to be a model citizen when they get pulled over. So that cop needs a whole lot of training. Seemed like he had a chip on his shoulder. But then on the flip side with Tyreek, I think he could have handled that better. I know that you're running behind, but you're running behind. That's not because of the police.
Right.
That's because of, I guess, whatever you had going on prior. You know what I mean? So hopefully they can get some kind of resolution. But I love what Tyreek said after the game. He said, I just want us to work together so we can better help our community. I mean, I saw him say that on one interview. So I don't know what.
But he did. And forgive me. Forgive me, Doc. He did come back the next day.
Okay.
He did admit his part in being wrong.
Okay.
But he also said that cop needs to go.
Okay, right.
And right now there's an investigation being conducted. That cop is on desk duty.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, because my thing, let's say if that was your son, all right, or my son, because I know my, you know, if...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Somebody just had a little hot head, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if he wasn't Tyreek, that could have went south real bad.
Exactly.
And you know what's sad when it comes to this, guys? And I, like I say, I'm pro cop. You know, we need to support the blue. But what I saw, even when that cop, when he treated him that way with excessive force, the other cops just looked at him. It wasn't like stop, buddy, or get off of him. They just kind of. It's something about that blue thing, man. I don't know what it is. It's like, because I know that one of the cops were like, that's not right. Especially when they knew who it was, but they didn't, nobody did anything.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I agree. Yeah. If I had to give percentages, I would say maybe 35, 40% Tyreek's fault, mm-hmm. 60% cops.
Right.
And overall, I do believe that, and this is speaking to a broader issue, not mm-hmm. just specifically the Tyreek situation. Mm-hmm. I do believe that there should be better training, as you stated, Doc.
Right.
For police, I believe they need to learn better de-escalation tactics. Mm-hmm. And in certain situations, perhaps there should be trained medical mm-hmm. individuals going to investigate certain cases as opposed to police officers.
Wow. Mm. What do you think with mental health or
exactly
right?
If depending on type of emergency, because we all know the stories where the call comes in, this person is having a mental health issue, mm-hmm. and the cops come in and they're not equipped to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen that so many times, mm-hmm. so many times. Wow, so this is good stuff. So that's the first thing that we want to talk about. So Tyreek, so what, listeners, what do you all think about that? Do you think that Tyreek was in the wrong, the cops were in the wrong, or do you think, you know, both were in the wrong? I would love to be able to hear your feedback on a later show, but hey, that's just something. Like I say, I've been on vacation. I just want to talk about some of this stuff that's going on out here. All right, the next thing I want to talk about is James Earl Jones passed. And that was heartfelt right there.
Mufasa.
Mufasa. But mine is Dark Vader. You are my son.
You know? Yes.
I mean, for the voice, mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about an iconic voice, it's his. I mean, outside of, what's my other guy? He was on everything. You know, the brother still living. He about 90 years old. He just slipped my mind. You know what I'm talking about? Black guy.
Okay, well, you said 90 years old. Sam Jackson is not quite that old, but he's on everything.
What's his name? He's the voice of God, like in Bruce Almighty.
Morgan Freeman.
Outside of Morgan Freeman, you know what I'm saying? James Earl Jones, to me, is the voice. I mean, seriously, I remember him. I think, what's the boxer name? He played the first black heavyweight boxer. But anyway, it was a
Jack movie. Johnson?
Jack Johnson. Yeah, I saw him in that store, and I was like, mm-hmm. man, this guy's talented. And that was even before I even looked at, you know, movies in that certain type of way. I was just blown away just about his demeanor and just his voice and yes. his stature. You know, he's always looked so powerful and strong. You know.
Yes, and you never heard anything negative about him?
No.
I mean, you know, he was faithful to his wife, you know, held things down there, or at least you never heard anything. Mm-hmm. But what I'll say, in addition to, you know, voice of Darth Vader, mm-hmm. voice of Mufasa. Yeah, I love saying that. Coming to America.
Yes.
But even prior to that, Fences.
Yes.
And other stage plays, wow. Broadway. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was, you know, he was famous long before, you know, what we knew of him.
Right.
If you would.
Yes.
And when we look back at some of the things that he did even prior to that, that most people may not think about. I mean, it goes deep.
It goes deep.
It goes deep.
I mean, and it's so funny as a black man, there's so many brothers out there who are just, they're just heroes.
Yes.
I mean, heroes in their industry, heroes, I mean, just in their character. Like you said, you never heard nothing negative about them for infidelity mm-hmm. or doing all of this stuff. So kudos goes out to James Earl Jones. Now, the last article of business, I want to talk about that presidential debate. All right, because I know we get a little political on the show. I used to always say that we don't get political, but you got to talk political.
Yes.
I mean, you got to talk politics, especially in 2024 with this election that's coming up. And the debate, I'm being honest, I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I knew that Cam was going to do her thing, but when she stepped up on that stage and started from Jump Street and went over there and shook his hand, you could kind of tell he was shocked by, you know, the former president. And it was on. And
she owned him.
She owned
she
him.
She owned him. And furthermore, he don't want no more. He actually said he would not debate her anymore.
Wow.
He declined any further invitation. Even when Fox asked, would he debate? Because, you know, Fox, I think they trying to get buddy-buddy again.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. he did them dirty. Uh-huh. You know how he always does. You know, when he don't get his way right. or whatever. Or, you know, he did them dirty, but they tried to even say, hey, we'll host one for you. We'll make things kind of in your favor. Mm-hmm. He didn't want no more. He was scared.
I mean, I felt like for the first time, somebody stepped to him and straight bullied him. And mm-hmm. it wasn't even bullying with nonsense or just lies or name calling. She was just, her character is, she's a better candidate for that position. Because even during the debate, he kept on going immigration, mm-hmm. Inflation. I mean, the same thing for every question. But she was trying to explain her plan and she stated facts. I think when they fact checked, I think he had 33 things that weren't accurate that he said, which were lies, and she only had one. You know what
right.
I mean? But it was almost like a Mike Tyson fight back in the day. You know what? Tyson would get in the ring and everybody wanted to watch, but you knew what the outcome was going to
exactly.
be at the end. So kudos. And like I always tell my listeners, please make sure that you register to vote. And no mm-hmm. matter who you're voting for, you know what I mean? That's your thing. But just register to vote. And like I always say, some of our ancestors died just so you could vote. And for the young people, understand that your vote does matter.
Yes.
Your vote counts. Don't act like that it doesn't. Because I had my niece one time, like, my vote don't count. But yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Your vote counts. And I know for myself, I have to do a better job of voting for even from the primaries, different things like that. You know, because I definitely always vote for most things like the Senate race. But I mean, for my local stuff, sometimes I forget. And I need to start doing better about that myself. But your vote counts. And please, this election is so important. I mean, you're talking about this Project 2025 that's on the table. You're talking about, you know, the rights and freedoms of individuals. I mean, you're talking about so many things that might not even impact you, but they're going to impact your kids and your grandkids. So I want to always encourage everyone to go out there and vote, 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 vote. And then do your research, too. Mm-hmm. Don't just, you know, like one guy said, I had more money with Trump in office. Man, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? Do your research. Understand it's just bigger than the cost of milk right now.
Right.
This is going deep. So anyway, Mr. Terry, you got anything to say about that, brother? I start getting on my soapbox with that stuff.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah. And if you just look at what was done, I'll say even during the current administration, but from the Supreme Court level mm-hmm. with the justices that the Trump administration put in, they rolled back Roe versus Wade.
Right.
They've begun to come back on abortion, you know, even taking away the right to choose.
Right.
You know, and again, I'll stop
then
there.
Obamacare. They're talking about repealing Obamacare. And I have Obamacare. I'm in the marketplace. So,
right.
I mean, so many Americans are affected by this election, will be affected by this election. And I just encourage everybody to vote. All right, then. And the next thing I want to talk about is Appalachia. And that's more on a sad note. But what we're going to do, that's going to be after the break. But we're going to get into, have a conversation about guns. And I wanted Mr. Terry on this show because he loves guns. I mean, I'm being honest about that.
I'm an enthusiast.
Yeah, okay, enthusiast. Okay, that's your word, but he loves them.
Yes.
But we're going to have a conversation about the shooting. We're going to have a conversation about gun laws after the break. So my name is Dr. B. Pope, and this is Real Talk.
Are you feeling overwhelmed, stressed, or lost in life's journey? It's time to find peace and guidance at A Better Counselor Services, your trusted partner in pastoral counseling. At A Better Counselor Services, we offer a safe space for individuals and families seeking support, healing, and spiritual guidance. Our holistic approach integrates faith-based principles with professional counseling techniques, empowering you to navigate life's challenges with resilience and hope. Contact us at 404-992-8273 or visit our website at www.abettercounselor.com to learn more about our virtual and in-person services. Your journey to living your best life continues here.
Welcome back, everyone, to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope, and I have my good friend, Mr. Terry Olmstead, in the studio with me this morning.
That's good to be back.
And we're just vibing, talking about different things that matter, especially to men. And we talked about a few things earlier, but today we want to just get a little deeper in the conversation, and we're going to be talking about the shooting over at Appalachia High School. Appalachia High School is a high school that's located in Winder, Georgia, and they had a school shooting this week. And I know I was on my vacation out of the country, and I looked at Facebook and I kept seeing messages, pray for Appalachia, pray for Appalachia. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world is going on at Appalachia High School? So I pulled up Facebook, I turned to CNN, I went to CNN, and I realized that it had been a school shooting. And I think that this one affected me more than the others because it's right in my own backyard. I mean, Appalachia High School is literally 20 minutes from my house. 20 minutes. And when I read the reports and when I heard the coverage, my heart just sank. And I remember I started tearing up. You know, I thought about the teachers who were killed, the two teachers who were shot. I thought about the two other students who were shot. But not only them, I thought about the thousands of students.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
In that school, mm-hmm. that's going to be affected by this forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as they live, they're going to remember this incident. One of my wife's cousins, you know, she sent a message out, and she was talking about how the parents were yelling at the administrators there. She said one minute they were praying, and then the next minute they cursing at the administrators because they're trying to get their kids.
Yes.
So I think that day for so many of those kids, they're going to remember. They're going to have trauma from that. But something needs to be done. I mean, it's not getting any better. I mean, Colorado, Tennessee, think Texas, Florida. Mm-hmm. And that's just in the last probably 15 to 16 years. And I remember when I was in school, I mean, I never even thought about a school shooting. The worst thing I thought about maybe was a fight. You know, mm-hmm. maybe somebody meeting up after school or... But for kids to go somewhere and they don't even feel safe, and this is supposed to be one of the safest environments for them, mm-hmm. and they feel like they don't even want to go. I saw one story, and I was reading on the internet. She said her daughter, they don't even go to Appalachia. They go to a school, I think, maybe 30 miles away from Appalachia. But the daughter said she was scared to go to school because she did not want to die. Mm-hmm. So this is what these 15, 16-year-olds are feeling now. So, Mr. Terry, what do you think about all of this? Because I know that you are a gun enthusiast.
Yes.
Okay. And I know that Appalachia is not that far from you either. So what's your take on this? And, you know, give me some insight. How do you feel about this?
Okay. Will do. And first, I want to say, you know, still praying and still in my heart for the whole school people right. that were affected by that. Mm-hmm. Don't want to ever forget that, because right. those are the real people we should be
that's right
concerned. But, you know, specific to what you're saying, Doc, mm-hmm. and again, Appalachia is maybe what 20, 25 minutes from where we live as well as a family. And that hit home for me because our youngest just graduated high school 2 years ago.
Wow.
And there were, you know, threats and different things going on, you know, even during his time in school. But as I heard that, first thing that I thought about, and I will say this is something my wife stresses all the time, is firearm safety in the home. Mm-hmm. You know, we should all have places where we have our firearms. I mean, yes, they're there for protection, of course, but if they're younger children, untrained children, they should be put up, locked up, inaccessible. That's the very first thing. Now, you know, we live here in the South, and just depending on where you grew up, no matter where it's South, Midwest, you know, maybe you, father, grandparents, uncle might hunt. Mm-hmm. Or just, again, you might have an enthusiast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, enthusiast.
But that being said, you know, like Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility.
Right.
And when you have a firearm, when you have the opportunity to have one, you have to take that very seriously. Mm-hmm. Now, for me having one, you know, again, youngest just graduated high school, but for a while, we had our oldest and the grandkids staying with us as well. They moved out not too long ago, and the grandkids are in elementary school. So there were measures that we had to take in order to ensure they were not able to, you know, have access, even playing around.
Right.
You know, but that being said, you know, with that responsibility, there comes training. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to have a firearm, you need to be at least semi-proficient with it. Not that you're a sniper. You right. don't have to be. But again, you do need to devote time, to practice. Mm-hmm. You can either, yeah, and this is my opinion now, you know, and this might get a little methodology if you would, but, mm-hmm. you know, take classes,
yeah.
or have someone you know that knows what they're doing help you along. Mm-hmm. You know, like a mentor or a coach, mm-hmm. or you can pay someone. Mm-hmm. For me personally, a good friend of mine, brother in Christ, he's ex-military. Mm-hmm. Right. He kind of got me into it. Mm-hmm. Oh, and even the way that I got into it, if you would, was only a couple of years ago. Actually, one of our daughters who's older, a guy she hollered at for a brief period of time, literally made threats that he was going to come to the house specifically by name. Excuse me. Specifically by name, he was going to shoot and kill myself and our son.
Oh, my.
And so, and definitely we called the police. But at that time, and I want to emphasize, it was not a knee-jerk decision even purchasing my first firearm. I have been, again, getting with a friend of mine, practicing, training. I had been speaking about it with my wife. So we knew we were going to do it. It's just a matter of when. Mm-hmm. And right. it just so happened that was like, okay, we need to do this now.
It's time to
and
make that happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And you did it mainly because of protection.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, I will say, you know, with the pandemic, if you would, and other things, began working from home, had more time on my hand, etc. I really began to love it. So the collection has grown.
Right.
I will say.
I told him he's like that guy on Beverly Hills Cop. It's not Axel, that's Eddie Murphy, and it's not the sergeant, it's the other one. I can't remember his name. The one who had all the guns. He had the Rambo guns, he had AK, all kind of stuff. So that's what I'm talking to Terry. But Mr. Terry, I know that you talked about training and different things like that, you know, so let me ask you this. Do you think that there needs to be stricter gun laws? I mean, in the state of Georgia, because if you don't know anything about Georgia, you don't even need a permit anymore. I mean, I have a license to carry, but then what, 2 years ago, they just
right.
threw that out the window. I mean, anybody can go get a gun and carry a gun. Openly. So do you think there needs to be stricter gun laws, or do you think that people, when they say I have the right to bear arms, that's my amendment right, my constitutional right, or do you think there needs to be parameters in place?
Okay. In short, I believe the parameters that are in place need to be better enforced. Mm-hmm. And with respect to what you're saying, Doc, here in Georgia, and I'm not going to try to quote all laws, because mm-hmm. and first of all, I know that this is being broadcast all over.
Right.
But I would say one part of being responsible mm-hmm. is knowing the laws for where you live, mm-hmm. state, local.
Right.
And also, if you travel, mm-hmm. ensure that wherever you're traveling, that you know what laws there are.
Right.
Because, say, if you have a concealed carry permit, most states surrounding Georgia do reciprocate the privileges right. with the concealed carry for the state of Georgia. Mm-hmm. But you always want to make sure that you check those things out. Now, that being said, certain states are literally open carry, mm-hmm. like Texas is one I know off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. That means, you know, you carry it on the hip, carry it wherever. Mm-hmm. In Georgia, definitely you can have a firearm. Mm-hmm. However, I'll say just going around with it on the hip definitely would not advise. Mm-hmm. That allows you to have one, say, in your vehicle, in your home or whatever. That's okay. if you don't have any felonies or anything that would prohibit you from having it.
Right.
So there's, and without getting to a lot of detail, and again, mm-hmm. I don't want to try to quote everything because mm-hmm. one, I say I don't know. Mm-hmm. And also,
right.
With respect, I don't believe it's my responsibility mm-hmm. to know anything more, I'll say, than what affects me and mine.
Okay, so now you don't think there needs to be stricter laws passed?
No, but I believe the ones that's there need to be enforced. Because if you do purchase a firearm, and that's specifically here in Georgia, there's a form that you have to fill out. It's a questionnaire. You have to do a background check. And depending on if you have your concealed carry license, it goes a heck of a lot quicker. But if not, there's a separate background check. And so with they're not just kind of handing them out to anyone, if you would.
But let me ask you this. So even with the background check, let's talk about the mental aspect of it now. All right. Because, see, that's where I beg to differ. Because I think there needs to be, if you have a history of mental challenges, I think there needs to be more stricter laws in place, in my opinion. If you, you know, like, for instance, it was a few years ago, someone had shot several people, but they had went to go get a gun, but they had a history of mental, you know, challenges in their life. And see, and I think even though people take a background, but if you hadn't done anything, a background's gonna always come back.
Right.
You know, hey, nothing's on there negative, but it doesn't really take in place of your mental aptitude. And I'm not saying they need to give some kind of check, but I think if you have a history of that or abuse, I think certain things need to be on the docket. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I agree. Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah. And even in Appalachia High School, that young man, the 14-year-old, and granted, he's being tried as an adult.
Right.
But that young man did have certain mental issues. He had been diagnosed. The school was aware. His mother actually called the school, I believe, as recent as a week prior, you know, regarding some things.
Wow.
So, and I want to make sure I choose my words in a way that communicates my thoughts.
Okay.
No. So if I pause a little bit, I'm trying
to
parse them correctly.
Right.
There's certain responsibility that falls on, in this case, the parents.
Right. Exactly.
There's certain responsibilities that fall on the individual. You know, part of that questionnaire, at least for the state of Georgia, that I wear, and I've actually purchased firearms in the state of Georgia and also in Alabama.
Okay.
I purchased in both states. There are questions that ask about your state of mind, in a sense, have you been admitted to a hospital? You know, are you on certain substances without a doctor's prescription? Now, again, an individual could lie.
Right.
Granted,
you could lie. Okay.
But that being said, I believe certain things slip through the cracks that I believe should be tightened more.
Right. Now, I like that. I like that. Because, so, question. Do you think, because I think in this case with the shooting in Appalachia, they're going to charge the guys, the kid's father.
Yes, they did.
So how do you feel about that? I know you.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You had mentioned earlier that you believe that, you know, the parents have to take responsibility to a degree. So do you think that's an accurate, I guess, decision for them charging that guy's father, Colt Gray's father, for him getting that gun, that weapon?
Yeah, of course. Right. True. Because and not just, but in this specific case, his father purchased that for him. His father purchased that firearm for him for Christmas.
Wow.
His father gave him access to that, knowing, with respect, there may not have been, there may have been something off with him, whatever the correct expression is.
And see, that's the thing. And I guess this is a whole different thing. I know you might not agree with me on this. Even with AR weapons, those kind of weapons, why do people need those kind of weapons? Now, I'm talking about the military weapons, like the AKs and all of the ARs. I'm just asking. And I know people like their guns. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I got a friend, he has one. He was proud of it.
Yeah.
Somebody coming here, I got him. You know what I mean? But those are killing weapons. I mean, I had a client a few weeks ago. She was in the Marines. Mm-hmm. 24 years in the Marines, retired.
Mm-hmm.
Intelligence. And I asked her point blank, because she brought up the school shooting. I didn't. She brought it up. And I said, do you think civilians need to have those kind of weapons? And she was military. She said, nope. And I've heard people say, well, I want to hunt. You don't hunt with an AK-47. What are you going to shoot, 50 holes in a squirrel or 50 holes in a deer? I mean, that doesn't happen. Those are weapons to hurt or protect. You know, I can mm-hmm. say protect. But do you think that civilians need to have those types of weapons or have access to those types of weapons?
It depends.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll say it depends. And personally, even though I do exercise my right
mm-hmm.
and even though I exercise my right, I'm actually very reserved, if you would, mm-hmm. in knowing what situations I would use it.
Okay.
You know, when I would use it. Mm-hmm. And that's part of being responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to answer that question, but then I'm going to kind of double back to
something else. That's good.
Now, legitimately, mm-hmm. individuals who have large amounts of property,
mm-hmm.
okay, they might have wild boars or something, depending on where you live in the country. And keeping in mind, this is going across the nation.
Okay, right.
You know, there are certain weapons that serve certain purposes better than others.
Right.
And so there might be a reason. Mm-hmm. So just to say you don't need it at all,
okay.
I believe is wrong. And that's my opinion, of course.
Right, no, that's good.
But do most people need them? Perhaps not. However, and this is, again, with the great power, the responsibility, we need to be able and we need to know when we're going to use it, how we're going to use it, what situations. And going back to the children, I mean, again, no matter what part of the country you live in, you may have had a male, or could have been a female,
mm-hmm. yeah,
that took you hunting, that mm-hmm. took you to do that.
Right.
I mean, when I go to the gun club I'm a member of, I see individuals coming in with children about 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, you know, but so I guess from a young age, parents generally do teach safety, teach their children, okay, yes, we're hunting, yes, we have this, but this is why.
Mm-hmm.
And even with my son, I made a point to say, okay, I took him to the range. These are the things that you need to be conscious of. This is what you need to be careful with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like I know early in the show we talked about, you have those conversations about how to deal with the police.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, if you have a firearm, you have those conversations with your children, age appropriate, of course,
mm-hmm.
when to use it, when not to use it. This is the purpose it's for.
I love it.
It's for protection.
Right.
Again, unless you're going out hunting.
Right. Yeah, that's my thing, because like I said, I guess that gun violence, it hits home to me. Mm-hmm. I see it in our community so much. And I see what you're saying. If you're out, you have 5 or 6 acres of land,
mm-hmm.
okay, you might need, okay, a weapon like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the amount of gun violence in the city, I mean, is that appropriate? And the sad thing about the teens, they said gun violence is the number one killer of adolescents and teens
mm-hmm.
in the United States. Number one, outside of everything else. Number one.
Wow.
Gun violence. And that's why I think something needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think laws or education.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. And I think it's just a different time, too. And I know we're going to be wrapping up in a second. But I think there's a different time, because I know when I was younger, my granddad had shotguns. My mother always had a snub nose 38.
Yes.
And I knew where it was. Mm-hmm. I remember when I would travel back and forth to St. Louis, I took it, I put it in my mm-hmm. trunk just in case. But my mindset wasn't,
that I'm going to use this to try to hurt somebody. It was all about protection.
Exactly. Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think when I see the deaths and the amount of violence, it's not about protection. Mm-hmm. It's all about inflicting harm on others. Or if I'm in a fight, that's the first thing I'm going to is a gun, as opposed to, hey, I might get beat up today, but at least I can live another day. Right. Somebody might talk about me, but I'm not going to take somebody's life. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the thing that I'm, you know, why this is real personal to me, because I see how it affects community. And I just hate it for those kids, because that's something they're going to have to deal with for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
You know. So, in closing, because I know we got to wrap it up, what would be a couple of things that you, being a gun enthusiast, a couple takeaways that will help this situation, you know, with your kids or even just in society, so we won't have to go down this road for us? Situations like this, in your opinion.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I believe training.
Okay.
The biggest thing I believe is training and education. Mm-hmm. Those are the two biggest things. Mm-hmm. Because if you educate a child, or usually, and again, a lot of it comes from when you're younger. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's playing certain video games.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole different thing now.
You know, I'm not going to dog Call of Duty, though.
But I mean, yeah, but I know what you said. But
that being said, yeah. You know, we have to make sure that we train our children that, okay, it's different from this video game. When somebody gets shot dead, they don't have two or three lives.
Right.
Or they're not going to just hit the reset.
Right.
It's over and done. And then if you do have a firearm, again, make sure you get proper training and make sure those in your circle of influence, I mean, household, mm-hmm. particularly the kids, mm-hmm. you know, but even, you know, just for protection sake, if you would, you know, I've made a point to take, you know, my wife and my daughters, you know, to the range with me. Mm-hmm. Now my son loves going, right. But you know, but I do, you know, try to take them with me as well.
Right.
If nothing else, you know, they know if you're in a situation, this is where we have this in the house mm-hmm. that you can protect yourself.
You can protect yourself.
Exactly. But it's all about protection. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, we recognize we live in a world where for whatever reason, you know, people want to do you harm to get back at you. Mm-hmm. People might want to take what you have because they just want it, or because they have not. Mm-hmm. And they feel like that's the situation they're in. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're just evil.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but I believe, again, with education and training, mm-hmm. that would solve a lot. Now, that's more on an individual level. But again, there's certain laws in place, and again, I'm thinking more federal at a high level, mm-hmm. that if those were actually enacted, I'm sorry, they're on the books, but if they were actually being put into practice, I believe that may solve some things.
I like that.
But again, and one thing I will say, mm-hmm. with the father of the child, you know, at Appalachia High, mm-hmm. and also last year, the young guy, the teenager in Michigan mm. that did the shooting, at least one of the parents were held accountable. Mm. And I believe that, and this goes back to the training mm-hmm. and the teaching. Okay, if I know I'm going to be held accountable, I'm going to make darn sure.
That's right.
That, you know, nobody in my household is going to do something to get me in jail.
Exactly. Woo, that's powerful,
okay.
Right there.
Feel me on that.
And then I think, I wonder, is that why they prosecuted the dad, if they wanted to set a precedent with that?
I believe that was part of, and again, this is my opinion.
Right,
I believe that definitely opinion. Was part of it, because mm-hmm. in that case, specifically, you knew there were issues with that young man. Mm-hmm. The 14-year-old that shot up Appalachia High School. You knew there were issues with that young man. And then, even though his father knew that, his father still decided, hey, you know, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to make this available to you. Mm. You know, and taking it a step further, you know, just like you need to know your children, you need to know yourself as well.
That's right. Woo. Well, Mr. Terry, hey man, this has been good, brother. So thank you so much for joining me and talking, just having some talk and then talking about these guns.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yes. Now, Mr. Terry is a gun enthusiast, all right? But I thank you so much for coming on the show and just sharing your enthusiasm, you know, mm-hmm. about everything. We had a great time this morning being able to talk and hang out. And right now, it's my quote of the week. My quote of the week is by Les Brown, one of my favorite self-proclaimed mentors. He says, always shoot for the moon, because if you fall short, you will be among the stars.
Wow.
My name is Dr. B. Pope, and I'm with Mr. Terry Armstead. And as Feed the Busy Bee always says, we are busy out.
Thank you for listening to Real Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee the Busy Bee. Be sure to follow Dr. B. Pope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And follow Fee, the Busy Bee, on TikTok and Instagram.